Hello and welcome to another podcast. This is Dan Hegerich, host of Do The Cure, looking to do some more practicing as I venture into making this a really world-class podcast. At least that's fantasy right now, and it starts with each podcast. Again, this is Do The Cure with Dan Hegerich. And today I want to actually dive in to having a talk about two nutritional phobias, particularly of the 21st century, that I believe has quite a bit of a contribution to chronic degenerative disease. And I'm going to start it off, I guess, with a quote. Let's dive into a quote. Actually, let me back it up. Before that, let's think about looking at human health as it is right now. Take a look at people walking down the street. Pay attention. You know, are they the picture of health? Certainly that's a judgment, right? You're going to have a idea in your head about what a healthy person might look like or how they might carry themselves. But just go with it. Think about it. How healthy are the American people, or is the American people? How healthy are they? Statistically, we know if we look some things up that certainly, one in two men are going to have cancer. One in three women are going to have cancer, and it's increasing. What about heart disease? What about diabetes? Type 1, type 2, type 3, which is now called, I think, Parkinson's disease. What about autoimmune conditions? How about mental disorders? And when I mean mental disorders, they could be clinical and put into real psychiatric care. Or what about all the children with autism? Some degree of ADD or ADHD. What about, I think I mentioned the autoimmune conditions, right? Thyroid autoimmune, digestive autoimmune, such as Crohn's. And what about the subtle things that people complain about on a regular basis? They can't sleep, insomnia, digestive distress, aches and pains that won't go away. For me, when I observe it, chronic degenerative disease is normal. In other words, being sick and unhealthy is culturally and socially normal. This is because I believe, or at least I hold a belief, that the majority of people must hold that disease is inevitable and out of their control, because you're going to die of something anyway, right? So this leads me into my quote that I came up with. Yes, it is an original. And that is, if you want to live disease-free, or at least reduce the risk of chronic degenerative disease, then it might be wise for you to learn to live more in accordance with nature's laws and your true authentic nature in this lifetime. With that said, let's get into this talk on the two nutritional phobias of the 21st century that I believe has a major contribution to all those chronic degenerative diseases that I shared just earlier. Let me give you those two phobias and then give you a story how I came up with them or how they came into my awareness. The first one is the germs. The germs cause a person to become sick. Even the word germ has a connotation that they're bad. So I'd like to use the word microbes or microorganisms. So we have been taught throughout our lives that microorganisms are bad and that they cause us to become sick and ill. The second phobia is the consumption of saturated animal fat. We're afraid to eat saturated animal fat. It's even professed by nutritionists that you should consume less than 10% of your overall daily fat from saturated fat, less than 10%. So I think it's the rule of thumb now is 7%. Like you're going to go figure that out, right? With the underlying, I guess, impression is that less saturated fat in your diet, the better. And cholesterol, because usually saturated fat comes with things with cholesterol, okay? So saturated fat and cholesterol, a sort of Batman and Robin. Well, in this case, I guess the Joker and the Riddler, because they're considered bad for you. They're bad guys. So we have a societal, cultural and societal fear that microorganisms cause us illness and that consumption of saturated animal fat causes us heart disease, cancer, strokes, high cholesterol, etc. But because this is a big topic, I'm going to actually break it into two talks. Today, I'm going to actually share the first one, which is the fear of germs or the fear of microbes or microorganisms as the causation of illness. And then on Sunday night, I'll record and publish the second part of this, which is the saturated animal fats. Let me get into a story on how I came into this, or how this topic came into my life. Well, I had just left the psychiatric ward that I was in for 7 days. And I went into the psychiatric ward because I had come to the realization that my incredible disconnection internally that was causing me to have suicide thoughts and suicide attempts, that I needed to learn how to self-love myself back to health and well-being. And of course, inside that psychiatric care or that unit, they certainly didn't hear that. And they thought that I was mentally ill. And of course, whatever I say is coming from a person that is mentally ill. And really what I needed from their perspective was my medication to be altered and adjusted. Within a couple of days, my cancer, my terminal form of non-Hodgkin's lymphoma returned for the sixth time while I was in that psychiatric ward, because I was really so angry that they could not hear me. Anyway, I got out of the psychiatric ward in 7 days and I went home. And I finally was pushed by my sister to leave my apartment and move back in with my mother. While I was at my mom's house, I was like, wow, this is crazy. I have all these tumors. I'm back at home with my mom. I'm about 35. It was a real surreal moment. I'm getting divorced in a couple months. And I finally told my my mentor, I actually emailed him and said, hey, look, I'm having some difficulty with the experiences I just had. And he basically said, Dan, I think you're ready to read The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. So I got the book and I started to study it really in depth. And what that means is I read a paragraph, then I wrote about what I read, and then I meditated on it. And while I was meditating, I actually asked God, the Creator, in a very nonchalant way. I'm like, hey, I got to surrender. I got to figure this out. Medicine doesn't serve me anymore. It's fear-based. They don't hear me. They can't see me. And if you show me the way, then I can save my soul and help a lot of other people along the way. And it was like a moment of flash that I was sitting back thinking about how I was a civil engineer and an environmental engineer working on hazardous waste sites. And what popped into my mind was this memory of when we were working on a hazardous waste site. These are Superfund sites from the federal government, the federal Superfund sites that had to be cleaned up. And we would assess the damage. And in doing so, I started to correlate how we would assess and clean up the hazardous waste site and reflected that my body was a hazardous waste site, not only physiologically, but emotionally, mentally, and spiritually. So I connected that the earth, the soil of the earth, directly relates to my digestive system from mouth to anus. And in that digestive tract, or in the earth, there should be an incredibly diverse amount of microbes or microorganisms. And I just said, wow, I must not have a good diversity of microbes or microorganisms in my gut. And I do remember some engineers at that time talking about bringing things like enzymes and bacteria onto the properties at some future date as a bioremediation. And I thought, wow, maybe that's what I need. And I emailed my mentor at the time about just that. Even after he had suggested The Power of Now, I went back afterwards with this insight and he said, geez, you need to speak to Dr. David Webster regarding a probiotic implant system to get good bacteria back into your body. And then I just expanded it. And I was like, I think I have a low-grade unconscious phobia of microorganisms that was put into my head very strongly when I had a bone marrow transplant, that my immune system was going to be really destroyed and that I would be very, very vulnerable to the microorganisms. And that seasonal flu shots would be mandatory for life. This started to bubble up. This was the year 2000, 1995, I had the bone marrow transplant. I even remember coming out of the bone marrow transplant and my sister Kathy was asking, hey, is there anything I could do for you? I said, yeah, could you have all the heating ducts clean and sanitized for microbes? For molds and all kinds of things. So I didn't even know at the time when I asked her what was really happening, but now reflecting back, I think that was what was occurring, this low-grade germ phobia. And then when you look in the stores about all the things that could be sold to the consumer that says 99% or 99.99% effective at killing germs. We have a war going on against the germs. Not just germs. God forbid, right? We have a war against everything. The war on microbes and germs, the war on cancer, the war on heart disease, the war on obesity, the war on drugs, the war on mental health, the war on terror, the war on poverty, the list goes on. But in my world, when you ever claim or proclaim a war on anything, the only thing you're going to do is get a war back. Which meant I actually had to stop the war. That phobia, I had to face the fear with this new conscious light on the subject matter. Brings me to a quote from Dr. Hiromi Shina, who wrote the book, The Microbial Factor, or The Microbe Factor is more correct. We as human beings are part of nature and that we live within the realm of its rules. Any medicine we might produce would only be an ad hoc solution leading to a counterattack by nature. Perhaps it is time for all of us to stop thinking in terms of medical warfare and take a different approach to human health. One approach might be to get rid of the warfare model altogether. Sort of mirrors what I said in the beginning of my quote. We must learn to live more in accordance with nature's laws and our true authentic nature in order to re-establish a symbiotic relationship with the microbial world and our own well-being. Crazy, right? Anyway, to make light of it, I got the book from David Webster. I think the exact title is Maximal Health Through Colon Health, I think, or Maximal Health Through Colon, through the colon. Sorry, I'm botching it. But if you look up David Webster, you'll find his book. Just having a little ginger tea here. So I followed his instructions, and literally within 2 weeks of starting it, my tumor started to shrink. And it built this immense amount of confidence. It fueled the hope that I had. And it built self-trust to listen internally to what I know. Like, I think it's reasonable to consider that if you are in the freedom of your own space and in your own silence, you are the best expert for your well-being and for your greatest expression of yourself in this lifetime. So it really started to build a lot of self-trust. So that was my beginning steps into looking into this whole idea of this germ theory. And of course, that took me into Louis Pasteur's work and how he started this whole, propaganda in many ways, that the germs cause illness. If I can get rid of the germs, then everything will restore to health. And so in the mid to late 1800s, he started the process of pasteurization, where what they claim is they got rid of the microbes, but they didn't. They just killed them. And now you have dead microbes in your product because they don't filter them out. So instead of consuming live bacteria and microorganisms, you're consuming dead ones. I wonder how the body likes that. So anyway, the germ theory, as it is defined in Wikipedia, the germ theory of disease, also called the pathogenic theory of medicine, is a theory that proposes that microorganisms are the cause of many infectious and contagious diseases. It is a theory that proposes, and it has never been scientifically proven. In fact, the opposite is quite true, where microorganisms actually benefit human health and well-being. As evidence of me taking this probiotic implant kit and putting bacteria into the rectum as a retention enema, and lo and behold, things started to turn, my health started to turn for the better. And so the father of modern pathology, Dr. Rudolf Virchow, had something to say about germs. I quote, "If I could live my life over again, I would devote it to proving that germs seek their natural habitat, diseased tissue, rather than being the cause of the diseased tissue. An example is mosquitoes seek the stagnant water, but do not cause the pool to become stagnant. Diseased tissue. Remember, I opened up this podcast with saying that we are in a state of disease, dysfunction, and delusion. And so our bodily cells and tissue are either dead, dying, or diseased, or weak. And that these germs, microorganisms, seek their natural habitat, which is diseased tissue. They're actually the janitors of your body. They clean up waste. Certainly, I don't think that feels good to you, but it is liberating once you start to build a natural symbiotic relationship with nature. We are nature. And microbes, the microorganisms, were here first. We evolved around them. We grew with them. This is what Andreas Moritz says to validate what I'm saying. He was an author, an artist, and a health practitioner. So let's hear what he had to say about this. Life on Earth would not be possible without infectious bacteria, fungi, and viruses. Their existence and endless, continuous interactions with humans and animals over millions of years have trained and evolved into what we today would refer to as the immune system. Our ability to live in harmony with our external environment is, in fact, rooted in our lifelong relationship with these germs. Let's open up a symbiotic relationship with these microorganisms. They are our friends. We are as much a part of them as they are a part of us. It's not that hard in concept, is it? I mean, I'm not an expert on microorganisms. I'm not an expert in these things. But I can apply some critical thinking and common sense. Which seems to be missing in our society lately, or over the last few generations. Here's a couple of quick facts. I got this from Jeffrey Gordon. He's a professor of St. Louis School of Medicine. Bacterial Bonanza was, I think, the article I got it from. That's what I have the title. Microbes Keep Us Alive. Let me repeat that. Microbes keep us alive. Here's three quick facts. There are 1 quadrillion microorganisms in and on the human body. It is claimed that it is 10 times the amount of actual human cells. Therefore, we are mostly one big microorganism. And they run the show. There are 100 times as many genes in our gut microorganisms as there are human genes. There are 300 to 1,000 species of microorganisms in our gut, yet we can only test for about 40. That's what he was saying back then. It might be a little bit more now with technology, but I can assure you most people don't have that many species in their gut. Why? Antibiotics. Why? Alcohol. Why? Genetically modified organisms. Why? Stress. All disrupt our microorganisms in our gut. There's more interesting information about the germ theory as you dive into it on this side of the coin. And what do I mean by that? Well, if you say that germs cause illness or microorganisms cause illness, you can easily find information to validate that statement. You can even, in fact, create your own information to validate it. That's, you know, we're creative human beings. But if you flip the coin over, there's an equal but opposite complementary question you can say is, or statement, germs don't cause illness. Microorganisms don't cause illness. And guess what? You can easily go find information that validates it. Or you could create it. Now, in the future, as I get better and better and more confidence in this, in my hosting of a podcast, I'm definitely going to be excited to get people that are experts on this topic. That would be a lot of fun for me. Charles Rayson, he was an associate professor of neuroscience. He was a professor and neuroscientist with Emory University. He had a beautiful quote for this. The modern world has become so clean. We are deprived of the bacteria our immune systems came to rely on over long ages to keep inflammation at bay. People with depression, even those who are not sick, have high levels of inflammation. Think about this. We are naturally yearning to be wild and free. Free to just be ourselves. Be a part of nature. Be of something bigger than our own little selves, you know? Yet we've become so domesticated, so removed from our wild nature, which is, by the way, very generous, kind, and loving, that in this domestication, we become angry, upset, selfish, resentful, shameful, guilty, manipulative, competitive, conniving, you name it. And we know that many of these chronic diseases that I talked about earlier have inflammation as a part of that illness expression. But we have to ask, what's causing the inflammation? That's for you to think about and explore. Dr. Joel Weinstock, at the time of this article that I pulled out from Tufts Medical Center, he was really studying helminthic therapy, which was basically the use of parasites to help people with autoimmune diseases. So helminthic therapy is the treatment of autoimmune diseases, digestively especially, and immune disorders by means of deliberately infestation with a helminth or with the ova of a helminth. Helminths are parasitic worms such as hookworm and whipworm, such as Trichinella spiralis from pork. So he was using hookworms and whipworms that come from pork to actually help people heal autoimmune diseases and other immune diseases. That ought to spin your mind for a little bit, right? So there's so many things that we have been taught about microorganisms that lands on this one side of the coin, that microorganisms cause illness. But anybody with a critical thought says that in this plane of living knows that when you make a statement, you can flip that statement around, call it an opposite statement or a complementary opposite statement. Which means that if someone says, oh yeah, microorganisms cause illness, viruses cause illness, you could flip that around and say, no, well, I have to uphold that viruses do not cause illness. And now we're at war. Who's right? Everyone's right. Is there room for everybody to be right? Or does someone want to exercise their righteousness over yours? I do make a good ginger tea. It's got a little lemon, a little raw honey. It's really good. I like it really spicy. So let me close out a little bit here. The benefits of microorganisms. What would be the benefit of opening up a symbiotic relationship with them? It builds immunity, natural innate immunity. It aids in your digestion. It helps detoxify dead, dying, or weak cells. Many microorganisms can detoxify heavy metals and accumulated acrid matter. Microorganisms can speed healing of cuts and wounds. Many microorganisms assimilate nutrients such as vitamin K2 and vitamin B12. E. coli can actually break down food into the smallest particles that directly feed the brain and nervous system. This whole thing that we're threatened by E. coli, but we carry E. coli and Salmonella in our intestines. And we need a healthy dose of them. Most importantly, it supports a healthy symbiotic relationship with all of nature. What are the sources of microorganisms? They're everywhere. Let's talk about the basics. Swimming in oceans, lakes, streams. Hopefully reasonably clean, right? Nice natural spring-fed lakes and spring-fed streams. Oh, here's one. Kissing. We kiss so we can actually help each other with developing immunity. It's one reason. That's not the most pleasurable idea. But we host a lot of bacteria and microorganisms in our saliva. of course, sexual intimacy, just even touch, just touching each other, playing in the dirt, gardening, animals and pets, being in nature barefoot, right? Natural clay, if it's purified from so many heavy metals that the earth has been poisoned with by man. You could do probiotics, but that's a little tricky. And there's, you know, a marketing war on whose probiotic is best, et cetera, et cetera. So do your diligence in researching that. Unwashed produce, especially organic produce, unwashed produce. Yeah, you might rinse the grit, but you don't need to soak it in hydrogen peroxide to get the so-called lava and eggs off of it. Lacto-fermented foods. Raw eggs, raw dairy, raw meat, raw fish. These all contain natural bacteria. All beneficial for us. Well, depends on what side of the coin you're looking at. If you're afraid of microorganisms and you have your own germ phobia, then certainly I'm going to be considered crazy, which, thank you. That's a compliment these days, because if you think how we're living right now is normal, then crazy is what I'm after. Let me close this podcast out with another quote from Hiromi Shinya, Dr. Hiromi Shinya, H-I-R-O-M-I, Hiromi Shinya, S-H-I-N-Y-A, just in case you want to get his book, The Microbe Factor. The gift of microorganisms. Even as modern medicine wages war against microbes that sicken and kill, we have come to understand that, by and large, microbes are our friends. In fact, without them, we wouldn't be able to grow, digest, and metabolize our food. Remember, folks, if you want to live disease-free or reduce your risk or work to eliminate a chronic degenerative disease, you might consider it wise and reasonable to learn to live more in accordance with nature's laws and your true authentic nature. Therefore, if you're lost in this sea of domestication, then it would be also wise to reach out to someone, to find a mentor and find a coach. I could certainly act as that for you. That's what I love to do. And you can head over to my website, danhegerich.com. And go to my contact page. In fact, I will leave that link in the description. Click on the link. And if you have any questions or concerns, please do shoot me an email. If you just want to shoot me an email, that's fine. danhegerich@yahoo.com. But it would be great for you to go over to the website and check out my website for how I might be able to best serve you to become healthier, wealthier, and more loving today than yesterday. If you found this information really valuable, please share it with someone you love or someone you think that could use this information. And secondly, consider subscribing or following this podcast so you can get the next notification that my podcast has been published. And that, I guess, really, I want to let you know that I appreciate you for spending this 40 minutes with me. It's valuable time we have, and I'm hoping that you receive some value from what I shared tonight. Two nutritional phobias of the 21st century implicated in almost all chronic degenerative diseases is a theory and an observation. This was the first part. It was basically the microbes don't cause illness. They are part of the cleanup crew for what is causing you diseased tissue and cells. And look forward on Sunday that I will be publishing the next part of this, which is the saturated fat phobia that our culture's in. Let's see if we can find some, I don't know, answers or perspective on the other side of the coin that actually saturated fat and cholesterol are actually really beneficial to our well-being. Power and grace to you all. Thank you.